Hi, this is Mike, and I got Dave Skrinka of Addicted to Profits right here. How you doing, Dave?
I'm really good, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. Yeah, we've seen some interesting stuff in the stock market. I put out a update myself, and one thing I noted was from the April low to the May peak that the market made, the S&P 500 went up 8%, and that's just an unsustainable rate of advance. The market can't do that every single month, so you know, we've pulled back since then, and Friday the Dow fell 200 points. So what's your outlook from here?
Well, it could do that, but it probably mean we're like in some form of hyperinflation. And we're obviously not in that right now, because those markets can go up 20,000% in a hyperinflation.
Yeah.
but in a regular market, I don't think that's going to happen. I personally think we have started the process of a major top. Now, I don't know if we're 3 months, 6 months, a year away from that top, but I think this is going to be a 2000-2007 sort of top. One thing that should be interesting to know, that the day the S&P peaked intraday, that was the day that Bernanke had his statement. I think what the real interesting note about what happened that day was that the market was up over 1% in the S&P, and it finished down over 1%. And the only other two times that happened on a daily basis was March of 2000 and November of 2007. And of course, October 2007. Of course, those were both when the market topped. So I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but I think that's kind of a warning sign right now about the market. Now, topping is just a process. My question is here: if you actually look at like the 99, 2000, and 2006, 2007 tops, I think what's interesting is that you'll see the S&P had like these similar kind of surges that you're talking about. That it goes up 7 or 8% in a month, or 25 to 30% in a half a year, and then that kind of remains the top. And but like for example, the S&P went from 1233 in the fourth quarter of 1999 to over 1500 in the first quarter, and then it went from about same area about 1250 to 1576 in about the last year or so of the climb in 2006-2007. And of course this time we've gone from under 1300 and about 1350 in late 2012 to, you know, over 1687 at the top this time around. So I think that like we kind of see these final surges where things start to ascend on a quicker pace, but we don't see the signs of advanced decline line weakening, the internals weakening, that sort of thing. And that's a process. That's the process I'm talking about. So if you look at it in 2007, there was a small little correction in March. The market went to new highs in July. Actually hit a final high in October, but October, everything had really started to erode. The advanced decline line was declining, all of these sorts of things. And I think you look at it this, and the same kind of thing happened in 2000. The market at the top in March of 2000 almost went back to those highs in August of 2000. In August 2000, but again, everything was kind of eroding on the internals and really began to escalate to the downside. So the question is, do we have another higher high? Is this March 2007 or is this July 2007? And I think either way, we do have a period of a topping formation that will form. Like I can see the market pulling back to 1600 on the S&P, and then us rallying back into the 1600s, and then rolling over kind of after that. So, one thing I'm very certain of, and I have to say that I know you correctly called the 2007-2008 crash, and I wasn't quite as bearish as you at that time, which was a mistake. But the one thing that I'm very certain of, I've never been so certain in my life that this is topping formation beginning. Yeah, it's the opposite of 2009. 2009, when everyone was scared, I was so bullish on
the market. That's right. That's right. Well, we should say that too, right?
And now I'm so bearish, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I really think that this is a major top. And just to finish off here, and I've been going on for a long time, so let me finish. The reason that I'm so certain this is not the start of another secular bull market is that just things aren't. We need government spending going down. We need the government to get their fiscal deficits in order. We need interest rates going up to choke off inflation and help the dollar and all these sorts of things. And exact opposite. There's no printing. We still have a big deficit. A lot of the deficit decline this year has to do with one-time gains, capital gains, because people sold stocks because taxes are going up late last year. You know, like a kind of recreation of the housing bubble in certain areas. And I just don't see a fundamental decrease or sorry, fundamental shift that tells me that this thing's going up. We have sky-high corporate profit margins due to ultra-low interest rates. So I don't really see us starting a secular bull here. And my final point is, go look at the 70s, and you'll see that 1970, 1974, 1980, even though we were in a secular bear market for stocks, the market, the S&P 500, hit a higher high each time. So going 10 or 20% or even 30 or 40% above the previous highs is not out of the question, even in a secular bear market.
Well, one thing I'm watching is an indicator that it's all over, all right, is in the last bull market from 2002 to 2007, interest rates, they were low, but not as low as they are now, but they were low enough to create a bubble in housing, and they helped the market go up, and everything seemed to be good, and as the market went up in that bull market, people were happy, and CNBC was happy, and Alan Greenspan was there, and people trusted in him, and they believed in him, and so forth. And then one day he just resigned and quit, and he did that right as the mortgage market turned down and real estate peaked out, and everything started to get bad, and then the stock market followed later. But he knew to get out before the trouble came, and. You know, I think the situation is sort of the same now, where the Fed's for the Fed's printing money and the market's going up, and CNBC is happy, and they say you got to be in because the Fed's printing money. But I think he's creating new. This Bernanke is creating new imbalances in the bond market, and it could blow up too. So if he suddenly resigns, I think that's a danger sign that it's all going to end, and you should keep, people should get really cautious.
Yeah, I think he's up for renomination next year.
Yeah.
That's why we might see this topping process, too, because I think he'll do whatever it takes to prop this up, and then he won't run for renomination. Did people talk about the Fed's?
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Fed's exit strategy? I said, yeah, Bernanke has an exit strategy. He's going to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his exit strategy.
But so that's a good point, though. Everyone... You know, the argument for the stock market is interest rates are zero, the Fed's printing money, Bernanke's there. Well, you know, that's not a real great reason to buy stocks. You know, it's not a good economy based on that. So if he quits, that's all over. You know, people need to – I think that's an indicator people got to keep their eye on.
No, I agree with you. I think that's a real indicator that that when he quits, that's when everything can begin to roll over. Like you mentioned, it was 2006 he took over.
Yeah.
Well, he got basically a year and a half of market propping up still, and then everything rolled over in 08, 09. I think even Volcker left in 86 or 87 as well.
Yeah, he left before the crash, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting that's kind of when those things happen. So, no, I agree with you. That's a really key indicator because – look at the job of these guys. Now, Greenspan's like the biggest bear in the world now. Like, he talks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he got bearish after he quit.
And the interest rates and this. And it, like, you know, even though he helped cause half these problems. So, what's funny now is that, see, it's like these guys' jobs to prop up the system. So, what their thing is that as long as, like, Greenspan kept it propped up after the dot-com bubble burst, and now Bernanke's going to keep it propped up after the housing bubble burst. And then that's going to bust, and then who knows what the next Fed shift. I actually don't – I think there's going to be another trend shift. Whoever the next Fed chair, I think, will be fired, much like happened right before Volcker took over. that the next Fed chair is not going to be someone who's going to be able to save the system. Yeah. They're the ones who's going to get blamed for this next bubble.
Right.
And then somebody can come in to raise rates and really kind of like get everything in order.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I think that that's where this is going to kind of change. Because look, there's no ammunition. The machine gun, it's empty. Like, the rates are zero. They're printing $85 billion a month. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, that's okay. That's okay now. You know, I think that's all right now, but I think that's a danger for the next bear market. Whenever it really happens, the Fed won't be able to do anything.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly the problem. And I think we're seeing somewhat playing out in Japan right now, where Japan has zero rates, and you know they weren't as loose on the monetary side, on the quantitative easing side, all that sort of thing. During the markets, during the bear market of the last 20 years in Japan. So they now are printing money. But you can see that when those Japanese bond yields have been going up, we see what the Japanese market has done. And that's the problem Japan has, is that, look, rates have been zero for 20 years. What are they going to do if rates go to a percent or 2%? They can't do anything. They can't print money because they're already printing tons of money. They can't cut rates. It's basically the whole system's screwed. And that the Fed's going to run into that bind at some point as well, where they've done all they could, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They've done all they could. They printed all this money. Rates are at zero. What can you do? And I think at some point it's going to be laughable. What's going to happen is we're going to see the yield curve so inverted. We're all going to laugh at it, right? We're all going to say, this is a joke. The Fed's got rates at a quarter or half a percent, and the 10-year bond is 6 or 7%. Like, who even cares about the Fed? Because they're so far behind the curve, who cares? Like, the long end is telling us what's really going on.
So, right, right. Yeah.
But, like, I think that's my big thing right now. Now, which, if we want to look at some positive aspects in terms of, I don't mean the market, but of what's going on, what I find was interesting right now is that when we had the 2007 bubble, everything spiked. Commodities spiked, you know, all these economically sensitive, you know, shipping companies, you know, all the alternative energy, solar, wind, everything spiked. Now we have all these sectors, coal, solar, shipping, gold, that have like basically tanked. And a lot of these stocks are 50, 60, some cases 80, 90% off their highs, and represent some really good value and really good kind of maximum pessimism type trading. So that's what I find interesting right now, is that I see a slew of opportunity up there in some of these beaten up companies, but what kind of effect does the potential of a bear market have on these? Now, obviously, a bull market didn't help these sectors, so I don't see why a bear market's going to, you know, send them, like, you know, reeling to the ground. But that's kind of what I think is interesting right now.
Well, do you think those are sectors worth buying, or are you saying that?
Oh, yeah. What I would do is, some of those sectors are so beaten up. I've been buying actually a lot in solar. I like the, believe it or not, I like the Chinese solar stocks, because they're where the news is the worst and they're ones the most beaten up. I think you're worth buying some now. And then maybe waiting a little bit, seeing how things play out, like, whatever, 3 months, 6 months, a year, it's time, before you buy some more. And the worst case scenario is you miss some of the first run. And the best case scenario is that you can, buy them a little lower.
Sure, sure.
Actually, with the gold stocks, I'm not so worried about that. I really think they've hit bottom. I really think that if the market starts to roll over, they're going to rally, and gold is now going to be the counter trade to the market again.
Okay.
I'm not worried about it. But if the Dow goes down 20%, I'm not worried about the gold stocks. But because shipping and solar and all these other things are a little dependent on how the economy is doing, it does, like, you know, worry me a bit that they could fall if the market falls. I'm still holding those positions, but I'm a little bit, like, you know, I'm a little cognizant of that. But the gold and precious metal stuff, I think we've gone back to the natural trend, is that everyone thought the stock market's booming, the economy's back, and housing's great, and consumer sentiment's great, and let's sell gold. And then everybody, you know, let's buy stocks. And I think if the market rolls over within the next year or two, it will be let's buy gold and let's sell stocks. And a quick note is that if you actually take the 74 to 76 bear market in gold and put it on top of the gold bear market now from 2011 to 2013, it's almost exactly the same in terms of duration and the way they look. And actually, this month, June, would be the month that the gold should really start to turn up like it did in August and September of 1976. So,
Well, what happened after that? After
gold went from 105 to 800 for a year.
It went some. Look, if the bond market's going to go into a bear market, gold ought to rally into it. So, that makes me think the big troubles aren't going to happen for a year. You know, for at least another year, probably longer, and gold should go crazy into it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing to look at, too. Like, you look at the stock market, it was kind of aimless after the 76 bottom in gold. It dropped in early 77, but there wasn't a real bear market. The S&P had one 19% decline in about 77, 78, and then kind of went a little higher. Now, the market didn't rally as much as this recent market, but I would see, I'm not overly bearish. I know everyone thinks inflation is dead, but I really think the next bear market is the inflation bear market.
Where
we're going to see all this printed money from all over the world kind of really start to fire up inflation and bond yields rise everywhere. And that is why maybe stocks will have a little more air under them this time, that maybe we see a 30 to 35% drop, not a 50 or 60% drop like we did, in the 2002 bust and the 08, 09 bust. And historically, that would make sense. Like, to have 3, 50, 60% busts in a 15-year period is almost unheard of. And the valuations are a lot better now than they were before the other two. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would look for. That inflation-adjusted terms, it may fall 50 or 60%, but not in nominal terms. But I just think right now it's just, I really believe that the market is making a major top and gold stocks are making a major bottom. I think it went further than I thought. Like, when the HUI hit 300, 350, I thought that was going to be the bottom at 250. And, I've been pretty bullish most of this run, but, when the Dow started going to, 14,000 or so, and the S&P was going to 1,500, I started getting really wary, and they still ran another 10%. Who knows? They might still run another 10% from here.
Yeah.
But I just think that right now you have to start positioning yourself for that. And the only, and to finish off, the only things I feel comfortable owning are these really beaten up stocks and those really beaten up sectors. Like, I own McDonald's and I'm about to sell it because on the next bounce of the market, because I bought McDonald's in the 50s. I don't want to own it at 100. So that's my feeling on that.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me and everyone else. We'll do a follow-up interview soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.